just been a delight being here today, being able just to pray together as we just have. I need your continued prayers as I stand before you. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me as I read, I'd like to speak to you today, if the Lord would bless us, from Acts chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading right at the first verse of the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 3 picks up right after the day of Pentecost has occurred, when the power of the Holy Spirit came down as they were endued with power from on high. And there was certainly a administration of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost that was much greater and much more abundant than what it was before Pentecost. And the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit has continued to be with us today, and what a blessing it is that we can meet and be led by the Spirit and have the Spirit indwelling us and the Spirit with us, manifesting Himself so that we can truly worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And that's why if we're going to have preaching today, it'll be by His Spirit that we do that. And if you're able to hear preaching today, it'll be by His Spirit that you hear it. And so the praise for all that we might receive here would go to the Lord. And when you're talking about the Spirit of Almighty God, well, you're talking about God the Father, as well as God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And there are three, but these three are one. And sometimes we go into efforts of trying to explain all of that, and I just love to be able to read the Bible and say, I believe it. And sometimes I can't understand even to any real depth all about that. I think I have some understanding of that, and thankful for that. We can see through a glass darkly. But the power of the Holy Spirit is with us today, and we have miracles happening today. We have miracles that are occurring today. Miracles do happen in this world. Now, the gifts that were given to the apostles, they were only for the apostles. And once the apostles had finished that work God had given them to do and delivering the New Testament and that word being confirmed, those gifts, those apostolic gifts, miracles, healings, tongues, those gifts ceased. But they were certainly evident here in the New Testament church, and they came as a proof that what the apostles were teaching, which was the same thing Jesus taught, was the truth. And those signs confirmed that. But yet today in our lives, I believe we've experienced today even a miracle. I believe what you've enjoyed this morning has been a miracle, if truly you've enjoyed it. I believe that when we gather here and hear the song sung and they mean something to you, that's God's working in you, that's a miracle. You would have never seen that had God not opened your eyes to that. And if you have your eyes open to that, the Spirit of God is what opened your eyes. And that's a work of the Spirit. We don't maybe see people that were lame naturally leaping for joy, like we're going to read about here in this text. But we certainly see people lame spiritually leaping for joy. And we see those who have lives that are mangled and burdened and crippled, so to speak, in this world, given liberty and freedom. The truth that's declared sets them free. I ask you, has the truth set you free to any degree in your life? I think we all would be just, we'd be irreverent. Not to say the Lord allowing me to know Him and know His truth hasn't set me free from so many things. Enough so that I ought to be about my Father's business, because He's given me a life to live to honor Him. And that really is what my life ought to be about. And by the way, that anything else it's about is wasted. And that which is towards serving Him is not wasted. And that involves every area of your life and every area of my life. Well, let's read the text in your hearing, and that the Lord will bless us. We want to see how this was a natural thing that was done for a natural person. Now, I believe a spiritual man too, but a gift of the Holy Ghost. But I want you to also, as we read this, think about all He's still doing and all that He will do and continues to do in our lives. He said this, that Luke writing here, he says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And when they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him with hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And I would continue, but seems like everything we've done today, I've kind of gone over time. Still left over from last night. We got here, started late, and you would think maybe I would take that into consideration. But as I finished last night, I looked at the clock, and it was even later than late. So seems like that's going away this morning. I'm telling you, though, these things are very, very important and worth every bit of the time we take to talk about them. There's nothing more important in this world than this message. This truth that we are declaring to you from the Word of God, of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This wonderful message of a Savior who is truly a Savior. Of a work that is truly a finished work. Of a salvation that is truly a deliverance for God's children. Will give you rest and peace and joy in this world, where you can find it really nowhere else. And this is where we ought to be focused this morning. He says, "Now Peter and John went up together." I just love to think about Brother Peter and Brother John. You know, they'd gone through so much. They were, I believe, there even when Jesus was brought in trial. And they were looking at those things, watched him die, watched him and saw him after the resurrection. They were there and had been there together. And now, after the day of Pentecost, those two shaky, quaky boys had been given a power that they never had before. And here they were going about to do that which the Lord had given them the calling to do. And not only that, but the strength to do. And I said to you today, you know, what a mess we would be without the Lord. We are a mess anyway sometimes when we forget who it is our help. But I'm telling you, brethren, you and I have been given in the Lord a strength and an ability to walk in that which He's called us to do. God gives you a calling, but He also gives you the ability to walk in that calling. And Peter and John here, they went up together. And it's good to be together. I think it's good to be together today. You know, that's why it's important for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Because it's when we come together, we have a like precious faith, and we share and we comfort one another with our experiences and our testimony. As Brother Jamie yesterday said, he had a testimony. He said, do any of y'all have a testimony? He said, do you old Baptists down here in Richmond believe in testifying? And brethren, I do believe that we do believe that we have a story to tell. Now, we don't want to make a show of anything, but I'm saying each and every one of us have a God that has been so good to us that we ought to say with the songwriter, the Lord has been so good to me, I want to praise His name. And we have that which He's done for you. I ask you this morning, has He done anything for you? Have you got something to say about what the Lord has done for you? Oh, be thankful for His goodness and His mercy. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, is there a particular hour of prayer? Well, really, yes, there is. We're to pray when? Without ceasing. So right now is the hour of prayer. Now, we also know from the Old Testament that there was the Jews by custom had, there were three. We read about that in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel. Daniel, as his custom was, prayed three times a day. And when the rule came out that no man was to ask any petition of anybody save the king, and men had devised such a law like that to catch Daniel, because they knew the only way we're going to get between Daniel and mess Daniel up is get between Daniel and his God. What a testimony that would be for any little child of God, that the only way you're going to catch him is to get between him and his God. The only thing is, they had not figured out about how wonderful his God was. See, Daniel without his God wasn't anything. But Daniel, because he was faithful and God had granted him faith, Daniel dutifully prayed three times a day. I don't believe that was the only time that he prayed, but he opened his window and looked out publicly so that others might see him pray. Not that they would see him, but that's what he would do, and he wasn't afraid for others to see it. It's a good thing to pray. And your prayer should be not done publicly that others might see you. But if you're praying in the public, it doesn't hurt for them to see you. You see a lot of people say, and sometimes we as old Baptists think, well, I don't want to pray out loud or in public because I don't want to be seen in public praying because somebody might think something more of me. Well, if you're praying to be seen, well, then don't do it. But if you're praying because you want to pray, then you ought to do it. And it doesn't matter who sees you, you ought to do it. Listen, I need prayer. I need prayer. I want to be able as a teacher to bow my head and pray in front of my students, and they know that that's what I'm doing. I have no problem with that. I don't want to be someone else on Monday than I am on Sunday. Sometimes I am, and it bothers me. How about you? I want to be who I am. Listen, Daniel prayed, and he prayed to his God. He prayed. He wasn't praying to a stump. He wasn't praying just to pray. Some people say that you can have faith, and as long as you have faith, it'll help you. It depends on what you have faith in. Listen, if you have faith in a stump, it won't help you to have faith in a stump. If you have faith in yourself, it won't help you to have faith in yourself. But if you have faith in the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of heaven, who is God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, He will help you. And if you have that kind of faith, you didn't get it on your own. You didn't buy it at the store. He has given you that faith, and only His children have that. And that which He's given you, I say to you, you use it. And Daniel didn't care who saw him pray, and he didn't care what happened. He knew the decree. He understood the law. He just said, I know who is my God and who is my help, and I'm going to pray to Him. And he didn't do it for show. The scripture says there in Daniel 6 verse 10, he says he opened his window and prayed as his custom was. That means he did the exact same thing he did the day before. Why was Daniel praying after the law said don't pray? Because the day before the law was passed, he prayed. And the day after, nothing had changed for Daniel, because the law God gave him was above any law any man could make. Listen, we're under God's law. There may be a lot of liberties men give you. There may be a lot of things men say are right. There may be a lot of things men say are okay. There may be a lot of things men say, but I'm telling you, God, let God be true and every man a liar. And if you live by that law and by His commandments and you keep them, you show the love that God has put in you to Him. And that's how we show we love God, by keeping His commandments. And that's because we love Him. And if we don't do it because we love Him, well, then it's as what? Sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It profit us nothing. These men went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, and this being the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they're going to pray. See, old Baptist's not too strange. They were going to pray at 3 o'clock. We can have morning service and evening service. That's okay. We can have it on Saturday. We can have it on Sunday. We could even have it on Wednesday night. It wouldn't hurt anything. We could do it daily. Meet as they did in the early church. They met daily in breaking of bread and in fasting and in prayer. It's good for us to meet together to serve the Lord. And they went on to the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. And a certain man, not just anybody, a certain man, he was lame from his mother's womb, was carried. He had to be carried because he couldn't walk. And whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. They laid him there each day at the gate of the temple. And there was a purpose for that. That temple, which is called Beautiful, it was a particular gate. He was there where those would come in. And he was there to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Because as they were going in, that's how he made his living. He had no other way to make his living. Listen, it's not wrong to help those that are in need. As a matter of fact, I think that's what the Bible teaches us to do. Now, if there's somebody who could help themselves, it didn't say we were responsible to help those who could help themselves. This man was there not because he couldn't walk. I mean, not because he could walk and just wanted something for nothing. He was there because he needed it. And I'm telling you, brethren, we are not Christian and we're not following Christ when we see those in need and we walk by and don't help. We're not doing that. Sometimes we say, well, I don't know whether they need it or not. I read about one writer who was saying about that. He said, I'd rather give to a whole lot of those who steal from me and not miss that one who really needs it than I'd rather be gypped out of a lot of things and not miss that one who really needs it. Because Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it also unto me. And therefore, as you and I walking in this world, the Lord's blessed you. The Bible says it's better to give than to receive. Now keep your heads up, hard shells. Don't turn over. It says it's better to give than to receive. That means when someone's in need, if you have it, you ought to give it. As a matter of fact, God gave it to you, and that's how you got it. And He may have given it to you just for that purpose. And you miss the blessing. And I'll tell you what you do. You cast your bread on the waters, and it'll return in many ways. And I'm not talking you give $10 like the world does and then you'll get back $100 and you give $100 and the Lord will give you $1,000. Hey, I'm not talking about that kind of thing at all. I'm saying what you need, God clothes the lilies and God feeds the sparrows. And Solomon was never arrayed in the beauty of one little lily. And all you have to do to see that is just take a flower and start pulling it apart. And you'll see the beauty of that thing, even down to a pollen grain. You put it under a microscope and it'll look like a spaceship. You know why? Because man didn't design that thing. God did. And His beauty goes all the way down to the deepest part. And always broad to the biggest. We have a great God who's able to take care of you and I. And if He blesses us with a few things, we ought to be able to share what few we have as much as we can. Now, this man was in trouble if he was dependent on Peter and John to help him in that way, because they said, look, we ain't got no silver and gold. And you know, he probably, I don't know what he did, but I know if he's sitting there in the need of it and they ain't got it, it's kind of, shoot, so much they're not helping me. He said, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, and when they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Every preacher, whoever preaches, ought to say that. Every preacher, whoever preaches, needs the congregation to know that. You say, what are you talking about? What did they see when they? What do you see when you look at Peter and John? What did they see? What did the people see? I'm just talking about the men, Peter and John, all the disciples. Were they the men of great training? Were they the men that you would think would you go for religious lessons for them? Were they the, you know, the Apostle Paul was kind of an anomaly. He was the one who was brought up under the feet of Gamaliel and was greatly taught of this world. And even he said this, he had to unlearn everything. He had to count all those things that he learned from the world as but dung that he might truly win Christ or understand Jesus Christ. He had to become a fool that he could become wise. But I'm telling you, those old fishermen, they were looked at like, who in the world are those guys? Kind of like they look at old Baptist preachers today. They had never been to no seminary. I get asked every once in a while, where did you go to school? And I said, well, I went to, you know, I'll explain where I went to school for teaching. But then they said, where'd you go to school for preaching? I said, well, I went to one for about 6 months until I found out I wasn't getting anything there. And I hadn't been anywhere else in the school. I'm telling you, if a man hadn't been taught of God, he's not going to be taught. And it's God who trains them. It's God who teaches them. And they're to spend their time, yes, studying the Word of God. But He's the one who gives them their calling. And He's the one who makes them able ministers. And if somebody thinks they got the qualifications to preach because they have some degree or some title, the seminaries of this world have buried a lot more truth. Some people call them the cemeteries of this world because they buried a whole lot more truth than they've ever brought to light. And I'm telling you, what we need is gospel preachers who've been taught of God. As Peter and John, which school did they go to? I'm telling you, they walked with Jesus. And that's what made them different. And if you ever hear a man preach, whether he's been to a cemetery or whatever, he's going to only preach if God blesses him to preach. And he'll never get taught or trained by anybody else. I don't know how I got into that, but that's all right. When they said, look on us, all they saw, he saw somebody as broke as he was. Because he said silver and gold. He said he asked of them alms. Peter fastened his eyes upon him, said, with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He said, okay. They said, look at me, so I'm going to get something here. And he said, silver and gold have I none. Can't you see him look like, oh, nothing coming here. But oh, he was about to get something so much better than that. I'm telling you, in this old world, sometimes people think if I can just get this, if I can just have that, I'll be happy. If I can get enough of the natural goods of this world, I'll be happy. If I can just get that job, I'll be happy. If I can just marry that person, I'll be happy. If I can just reach the place where I can be retired, I'll be happy. If I can just get here, if I can get there, if I can do this and all the lies that are around being happy, I'm telling you, being happy is to know Jesus Christ and have communion and fellowship with Him. And there, outside of Him in this world, there is no joy, there is no peace, and there is no rest, and there is no happiness. I'm telling you, that which he was about to share with his dear brother made him happy. He didn't get what he wanted, but he got something a whole lot better. I think there's sometimes people come to church, they don't get what they want, but you get a whole lot better. First of all, you look at the preacher and you see what he is without the Lord. I'm telling you what I am without the Lord. I'm rotten and I'm no good and I'm just like you. You hear that? The reason I'm rotten and no good is because my daddy and my mama were rotten and no good. And my grandparents, as much as I loved her and him, were rotten and no good. Because in them was sin. And that sin went all the way to the core. And on their best day, they would have never been fit for heaven. Their righteousness is but as filthy rags. And there'd be no hope for me or for them or for anyone in this world were it not for that man called Jesus, who walked a perfect life in a world that wasn't fit to allow him to be in it. And he was here by his own power, and he lived his life perfectly, and he died on a cross and paid a sin debt. And because of that, I believe mama, daddy, my grandparents and every one of God's children one day are going to be with him in glory. And nobody's going to be praised up there but Jesus. And I said to you right here today, I don't think we should ever believe anybody should be praised here but Jesus. So when you look at me, don't praise me. When you look at Peter, don't you praise him. When you look at John, don't you praise him. You look on us and you see what we are. You know what the Bible says they saw him as? If you read that over in the 13th verse of the next chapter. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were, get this, what? Unlearned and ignorant men. You say, who's your preacher? Well, he's that unlearned, ignorant man. So, well, why do you want to go hear of some unlearned, ignorant man? Because that unlearned, ignorant man, when the power of the Holy Spirit is here, that one who's called of God, if he's a truly a man of God, he's called of God to preach. When the Lord fills his cup, he's able to share from that the wonderful mysteries of the manifold wisdom of God. He preaches that which is that is the truth from God's Word, and it feeds my heart and it feeds my soul. But I'm not going to give that unlearned and ignorant man glory. I'm going to give it to the Lord. I'm telling you, Peter and John had nothing for this man but what God had given him. But what God had given him was a whole lot. You see, they were, wow, they were apostles. And they had been given the gift of healing in the Holy Ghost. And they, by the unction, I believe, of God, I don't believe they just saw somebody and said, I think it'd be good to heal him or came on. I believe they followed the direct leadership of the Lord, don't you? I believe God sent them to him. I believe he was there every day for this purpose. I believe his life at this point, probably the bold boy probably said, why am I in this world? Can't you imagine him every day? They're going to just pick me up today and take me over to the temple. And I got to sit there and beg all day long. And I never walked the first time in my whole life, and they're just going to take me there. What a miserable life. There would be people who said, his life isn't worth living. Let's take him out. They would have snuffed him out. Listen, he's lame. Don't let him be born. What purpose does he have? You know, there are lives snuffed out today because people think there's no purpose in their life. Let me tell you, every little babe conceived in its mother's womb has a purpose. And that's a special life given by Almighty God. And that little boy sat there every day of his life. Never had walked. For this day. For this day. Boy, can you see it in your life? Running through this world thinking it doesn't have any meaning. Thinking it doesn't have any purpose. Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? You never know what's coming. Listen, you never know what God's going to do. Just know this. God is God today. And that makes day today worth living. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Just sit back and enjoy it. It's like a roller coaster ride sometimes. Just enjoy it. You paid to get on it. You couldn't keep an animal on it. If you tied him in there, he'd jump out of there. But we paid. Get in, get strapped in, want it real tight. Some old big people, sometimes they have a hard time getting us in, don't they? Sometimes they won't let us ride. But then they latch you in and you enjoy the ride. You know why? Because you believe you're going to get to the end of that. You got some faith that you're going to enjoy it. Hear me, brethren. We're in a world that's full of ups and downs, but as God's little children, we should believe there's an end awaiting us. He has a destiny for us, and he's going to keep us every little hill and every little valley. So help me, Lord, enjoy the mountaintops, yes, but enjoy the valleys too. Because I'm telling you, he'll show you things in the valleys when you're sick and on your back and can't get up that you couldn't see when you were well. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? When you're broken, he'll show you things. Well, this man, and I'm not going to get to anywhere. Don't y'all get too nervous. I know I'm on verse 3 of a bunch. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And get this, he didn't say in my name, he didn't say in Peter's name. And listen, if I'm preaching today, I don't want to be in Gary's name. I don't want it to be in brother so-and-so's name that came before me. I don't want it to be in the name of the Primitive Baptist Church. I want it to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the truth. Hear this truth. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He didn't try to do it, want to do it. He did it. He came for you. If it had been only you that He came for, He would have come just that way. He came where you were in your life in the person of the Holy Spirit and quickened you and made you alive. I don't know when that happened, but I'm telling you, when it happened, your life changed. And you were no longer the same. And you can act like you're not. Listen, this old boy, when he was healed, was healed. He was healed. He could have still laid there and said, I can't get up. But he had the power to get up. He had been healed. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And you know, if there hadn't been some faith in him, he would have said, why should I even try to get up? I've tried to get up from the time I was born. When everybody else was walking, I'm lame. My legs are broken. They don't work. Now let me tell you this. This man's legs didn't get better until he stood up. Now, do you think that means the healing came as a result of what he did? No. I believe the healing was there and it was real. But, you know, we have many times a blessing given to us. It reminds me of someone sitting at a plate full of food saying, I'm starving to death, acting like you got a whole table full of food and you act like, well, I'm starving to death. I don't have anything to eat. And the Lord has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now listen, he gives you the faith as well as the ability to come unto him, and there's a table full. There are many times though you and I miss the blessing simply because we do not exercise faith in coming to him. Hear me. Are there days you've lived trouble that you shouldn't have really lived trouble just simply because I didn't rest and trust in him? And you'll have some tomorrow. You may be having one right now. If you do, repent of it. And as I'm telling you, you know how often you need to repent? Every single day. How many times? Once? No, probably over and over again. Anytime we have something we need to turn from and we see it, we need to turn and go in a better way and walk and follow him better. And this is getting bigger and bigger, so I got to find some place to sum this up. It isn't the ninth hour yet, though. Okay. Brother Bob said, come on, Brother Gary. It is the six. It's past the six, so isn't it, Brother Bob? It might not be the nine, but we had the six. And the Peter fastened his eyes upon us, and John said, look on us. He goes down, he says, and he took him by the right hand. I want you to get this, and we'll just close with this. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Oh, brethren, that's what ministers do. They don't give life. Preaching doesn't give life. Preaching doesn't awake, it will not awaken the dead, but it'll awaken the living that are asleep among the dead. It'll cause those who are weak and help those. We're to help and strengthen those that are weak. That's what the church is here for. And sometimes it's you that is weak. And sometimes, you see, when you look on me, you know there are times that I'm just as weak as you are and I need your help. And when we're there, we're to help one another. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And get this. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, did he get strength on the ground or on the way up? He was on the way up when he got strength. And I love the way the Lord works. How much strength did he have? Does this boy just, you know, sister said to me, you're limping. I said, yeah, I'm limping. It seems like I am limping. But I'm telling you, this boy wasn't limping because the strength had come into his, and it says, and he, this man, have you ever seen someone who's just beginning to walk? Do they leap? No, I'm telling you, he who had never walked, he's received his strength. He leaping up, he stood and he walked. And get this. He entered with them into the temple and he was walking and leaping and doing what? Praising God. Praising God. Amen. Praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Brethren, I'm telling you, if you have felt at times as a cripple in this world and you have felt the Lord come and open your eyes to things you didn't know about and lead you in paths you didn't know to go and direct you and answered your prayers and been with you as you are walking now, as you have the ability. Ye who are sometimes darkness, now you light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. And when we do that, we ought not just be dragging along. We ought to be what? We ought to be walking and leaping and praising God. I'm not nearly done, but Y'all have been very patient. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Love you, my brother. God bless you.